Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production. If you're lost, I'll find you there, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. All to do for the British clubs in the Europa League and Conference League. And Ronaldo scored again. It's Friday, 29th of April. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Eddie Russell.
And I'm Jim Gamble.
Oh, I didn't give you room there, did I, boys? But you took it. You got in there.
Too much weekend.
Exactly.
You're looking ahead to too much weekend, don't you?
Yeah.
Stuff it all in already.
You are currently eyeing up the gate that is closed at the moment. You're thinking, is there a little hole for me to squeeze through?
Can I jimmy over that?
Well, you're
giving me a bunk up.
No bunk ups, Andy. No bunk ups at all. Gentlemen, oh, let's go straight to the Europa League.
Yes.
At the London Stadium, it was West Ham United 1, Frankfurt, Eintracht Frankfurt at that, 2. And it was, we've enjoyed the Europa League nights, Jim, at the London Stadium so much.
Yeah.
And this, we felt a little bit deflated. It's not over. It's the first leg. Still all to play for. But we were a bit deflated, weren't we?
Oh, very much so, yeah. I feel like West Ham were good for a draw at least there. You know, like I feel the result is kind of a little bit... doesn't really tell the story of the game because they push really hard. They hit the woodwork three times, was it?
Yeah.
Jared Bowen's overhead kick. What a moment.
I was just thinking, but when you started, Jim, I was like, why have neither of them mentioned the overhead kick?
Yeah, why haven't we started with
that? Oh, my God. It was so... I mean, it was... The execution and the technique was textbook, but it just... inches. And when, because you obviously, I'm sure most neutrals around the country would be cheering on West Ham, Andy. And that happens, you think, you know, when it's so frustrating when you're watching a game and you want them to score so much, and that happens, you think, I'll piss off football. Because it would have been so glorious. But 2-1, and David Moyes, it was a little bit downbeat post match, which is not what we like to see. It's memories of the past. Tell you what, though, Mikel Antonio wasn't, was he?
No.
Very much. Well, we're going there. We're going to go and win it.
Bullish. And I think the no away goals makes a massive difference.
It does.
Doesn't it? But the occasion out there is going to be incredible.
Well, we saw the Eintracht fans all descend on London as they did in Barcelona, of course, in a slightly different way in the stadium.
Them at home is a different kettle of fish.
Are you worried for West Ham, Andy? Sounds like you are.
I don't know about worried, but I would say Eintracht are favourites now, which I didn't feel before the game. I didn't see them going to West Ham and winning. But, you know, we can talk about like the magic of the Europa League this season. It brings something special out of Frankfurt. Like, they are not like that in the Bundesliga.
They're ninth, aren't they? Yeah. I think of it, certainly around the sort of mid-table in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, very much in a state of flux. Mm-hmm. But, what a great performance by them as well.
And after 49 seconds, Knauford scored. And that is exactly what you don't want, Jim, of course. Mm-hmm. But West Ham responded. Bowen himself hit the post and it was a good chance. But then Antonio got his goal, the first goal he'd scored since New Year's Day, which was very welcome, of course.
Yeah, very much so. And at that point, you thought, okay, they're going to sort of turn the tide a little bit now. They looked like they just started a little bit sloppily and had corrected, but Eintracht weren't having that either, were they? It was very sort of high-quality performance, actually, from both teams, I thought. Mm. A lot of really... good football on display, essentially. And Kamada really seemed to make a difference.
But that's, of course, he had that incredible match at the Emirates, didn't he? In Unai Emery's like last ever match as well. So he loves a bit of London, Daichi Kamada. But I think what I really enjoyed about the game, there was, as you say, Jim, a sense of, from both teams, of this is our moment, let's absolutely seize it.
Yeah.
Which is what you really want to see in a game of that sort of occasion, of that sort of magnitude.
It is, yeah. I think this game in particular, because RB Leipzig are the favourites, and there is more discrepancy between the two sides in that game, you would say, even though I think that's still alive, than this one. This is very much a 50-50 type game. Mm. And you look at this, and whoever doesn't progress will think, what a chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
They will be absolutely gutted.
But that's the danger for West Ham, isn't it? I think that was perhaps evident in that kind of opening 10-15 minutes.
Yeah.
The sense that, like, oh God, it's all going wrong. And that sort of paralyzes you a little bit. Mm. And that's, I mean, a lot of these players don't have experience of going deep into competitions like this. So that's something that they've really, really got to just completely negate ahead of the next game. They can't play it with any nerves, can they? Like every moment's going to count in that game.
No, but the performance in Lyon is something to grab onto, isn't it? Because they were brilliant. They were much better in the away leg than they were in the home leg there. Eintracht have been better on the road than they have been at home, despite that incredible atmosphere. And, you know, I talked about the incredible atmosphere at Frankfurt, and those West Ham fans that are going will have an amazing time, I think. Mm. But having said that, it was super loud at Lyon. Like, everyone was, I think the West Ham travelling fans were really taken aback by that in the first 20 minutes. But, you know, their team, by growing into the game, managed to quell that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can forget that, you know, a team can overcome a hostile home crowd.
Mm.
My point is this is levels up from what you're expecting.
That is
what I'm saying. Like, I said, it brings something special out of them. But I think whatever happens, and I'm not saying it's over yet, far from it. Like I said, I think West Ham could go out there and get the result they want. But this season, you know, West Ham fans have been waiting for this for a long time. You know, there are a lot of them who didn't want to leave Upton Park, who were sold this move on, we're going to have European football here and we're going to have great nights. And they've had to wait a while. And finally, they have got those great nights at last, haven't they?
Mm, well, let's hope they have another one.
Yes.
In Germany. We should say, by the way, that West Ham are investigating an alleged attack on a couple of German journalists, reportedly in the first half after Mikel Antonio's equaliser. Yeah, some people would have sort of read this and so
on. It's pretty awful.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly. It's horrible stuff. And we've, a great shame because West Ham fans have been a great credit to themselves in this competition and added so much to the atmosphere. But hopefully those who are alleged to have done this, justice is done. We should say, though, West Ham and European semi-finals and Eintracht Frankfurt, they last met before this one in the 75-76 Cup Winners' Cup semi-final. Frankfurt won the first leg then 2-1, and then West Ham won the second leg 3-1. It's a good omen, Jim.
It is. Why even bother with the second leg?
Exactly.
Just send them through now.
So we can all just calm down for West Ham's sake. West Ham hosting Arsenal on Sunday. West Ham have barely got any defenders. Dawson suspended. Kurt Zouma will be at the back. So Arsenal might look to exploit that, Jimmy.
You would hope so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make him tense. It's Friday.
I know, right?
You're just making him tense on purpose.
Yeah. Oh, we get the best out of Jim when he's a bit tense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always a bit tense. Yeah. So
if he relaxes too much, he'll be an absolute mess on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
Trust me on that. staying in the Europa League, gentlemen, RB Leipzig beat Rangers 1-0, of course. Great goal to win the game in the 85th minute.
But I mean, this actually, when you look at how the pattern of the game was, is not a bad result, is it? And Cuckoo in particular should have made it at least two.
Well,
he scored before that.
I mean, it's rare that a player who scored over 30 goals in a season has a miss of such magnitude that his teammates have to peel him off the floor and go, come on, son, it's all right. But that's what happened when he rounded McGregor. And I think...
He had to go quite wide, didn't he? It wasn't necessarily as simple as...
Oh, no, you're falling into the Ali McCoy trap. Commentary was like, I'm looking for a reason why he missed that. Why did he miss that?
Strikers Union, Andy.
Yeah,
but then but then McCoy was very clear in that he felt Nkunku should have scored.
Yes, that's true.
So he wasn't ambivalent about that.
Whereas the way Angelino hit that, I know it was tricky for McGregor because it came through a load of people, it bounced just in front of him, etc. The way he, like a non-forward player, got his body around the ball to hit it like that was amazing. That was a really amazing goal.
Yeah. Well, talking of home crowds and advantage and all that kind of stuff, that's what Rangers will be looking at here, Jim, because they are the second best team in this in this matchup. You know, RB Leipzig are a good side. We've seen them in the Champions League, of course, recently, and I say they are favourites. But then Borussia Dortmund were favourites as well, and we saw what Rangers did to them. Now that was off the back of a winning performance in the first leg, but I think when you look at these games, you have to kind of look for the positives. And the positive is Rangers will be roared on by a very raucous home support and they need to win the game. They know what they need to do.
Yeah.
So we shall see. I mean, it's gutting for them that Morelos got that injury and Kamar Roof, if he comes back, that'll be a bit of a bonus. But they did look a bit toothless.
Morelos is a huge, huge miss for them, isn't it? The timing couldn't be worse on that. It's a real shame.
Well, he scored so many goals in European competition as well.
Well, he's just clinical, isn't he? And that's exactly what they're going to have to be.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. So, I mean, Andy, do you think it's a tough one for Rangers, that 0-0 would have been a good result. Even with that result, they would still be up against it, of course.
Yeah, I agree. Leipzig are really, really good. And they've got loads of options off the bench as well. I think if you look at their form since Domenico Tedesco took over as coach, they're more prolific away from home.
Yeah.
You know, you look at six goals at Greuther Fürth, at Hertha. They won 4-1 at Borussia Dortmund. They went and won at Atalanta. They are more comfortable on the road. The atmosphere, going back to what we were talking about, is the big variable in that, because I don't really think you can make the Dortmund comparison. I know Dortmund have finished second, but their results have gone way past their performance. That was not a great Dortmund side that Rangers beat, even though they deserve an enormous amount of credit for doing so. And if you look at the points totals in 2022, I think I might have said this yesterday, but Leipzig have more points than anyone else in the Bundesliga in this calendar year. They're in nick.
Yeah, they are.
I think it's difficult.
Tedesco, 4 years younger than Alan McGregor, of course.
Wow.
Fascinating.
And he wouldn't have saved that either.
I don't think he would have done, fascinating career, though, Dominic Tedesco. Very interesting chap.
Yeah, he got higher marks than Julian Nagelsmann in their coaches' exams. They were in the same class.
Ah, Love that. Absolutely love that. Also, Rangers have got the small matter of the Old Firm derby in between times as well, which is really not what you need at that point.
Scheduling, eh?
Yeah, indeed, indeed. Blame the schedulers, as Jurgen Klopp would do. Andy, Leicester 1, Roma 1. You were there. You were in the Midlands of this fine nation to witness Jose Mourinho's Roma, which, of course, they should always be referred to as.
Yes, they should. And they were Jose Mourinho's Roma last night because he was on good form on the touchline. He was on absolutely great form.
Well, the game went
touchline.
To plan, really. I mean, they scored first and then it was a case of just sort of sitting in and...
Yeah, I'm not sure the second half went to plan. They got absolutely battered in the bit between half-time and the equalising goal.
But they didn't lose the game, so it did go to plan in a way.
The weird thing... Yeah, I suppose in terms of the final result, yeah.
If there's one man who just cares about results and nothing else, it's Mourinho.
Yeah, I don't think anyone plans for their team not to get out of their half for 25 minutes.
I don't know, Andy.
But I think it was interesting because the equaliser obviously really raised the atmosphere to the sort of levels that it was at the start. But it kind of seemed to sate Leicester. It was weird because they were absolutely... on fire for the first bit of that second half. And once they equalised, Roma started thinking, yeah, I suppose we should, like, you know, we can't just sit on this for the entire game. And they started to come out. You had that chance for Sergio Oliveira that Tammy Abraham created as well. Great bit of forward play from him. Yeah, he grew into the game as well. I think we'll probably see more of him in the second leg. But
maybe in Castle, Randy.
From Leicester's perspective, I felt James Maddison feels like good old James Maddison at the moment. You know, when he's playing that sort of level that you think, God, I would love to be in a team with him.
Yeah.
He makes everyone look good.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Mourinho said that the game was too good for the Conference League. I mean, he has a point. but that is, again, peak from Mourinho. Jim, what did you think of Claudio Ranieri saying before the game that he would be supporting Roma?
He's from Rome, isn't he, Ranieri? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I know what you're getting at.
It's still piss poor. I
still have that montage before kickoff with him on it and everything, and all the crowd join in.
Oh, yeah. Dear.
Is he turning heel?
Be heartbroken.
Is Ranieri becoming a villain?
I don't think he could ever be.
No.
Good to see Jamie Vardy back, though, speaking of villains.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, always. So, I mean, that's the... That's an X factor to sort of compare to Mourinho, isn't it?
I think so.
Imagine Vardy getting the winner in Rome, just fucking giving it the big one in front of Mourinho.
I think Leicester are going to do this.
Well, the thing is, as well, if he scores the winner in Rome, there's the whole running track for him to do a lap of honour around.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be fun.
He's definitely going to get a late winner in Rome and he's going to stick it up all of them. But I tell you what, old brother Brendy was very upbeat after the match, said he was pleased with his team's performance, and he said, we know we can travel and get the job done and we're really looking forward to that next week.
They had a nice cuddle on the touchline during the game.
What, Mourinho?
Mourinho and Brendy
did that thing as well after the game. Right, immediately after the whistle, they shook hands and he brought him in and he just started talking in his ear. And you thought, oh, the
never stops.
Yeah, exactly. You just know he'll have been laying on compliments, you know, and just, yeah, that's fun. But Mourinho himself said that the home support will make a difference for them. Always talking about the home support. Apparently it's sold out, Stadio Olimpico, for this game.
It was sold out for the Bodø/Glimt game as well. Yeah. And it is something, you're right to underline that, because it's an enormous stadium, and it doesn't often sell out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's that, the Mourinho factor. That's what it is.
That's 100% it, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. We should mention Harvey Barnes made a difference when he came on.
He's great.
Yeah, and also nice to see Chris Smalling as well.
What a good game he had.
Yeah, he did actually have a decent game and did a good job on Vardy, you would say.
Yeah, when I went to see Roma back in February, this bloke, like every time that Smalling won a tackle, just got up and shouted really loudly, Chris! Chris è fortissimo! Chris è fortissimo! I really enjoyed that.
Well, you know, what does that mean?
Chris is very, very strong.
I thought it would be Chris is a fortress.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's cool. I think they should go with that next time.
Maybe that's where the word comes from. Jim, Leicester, are they going to go through? Say it now, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course they are. I honestly, I think they will. I really do. I think they've got
they were
a
brilliant
wonderful opportunity.
They were brilliant in that second leg in Eindhoven, weren't they?
They were, exactly, yeah. And which is when they had to dig deep, but and Maddison came into his own and so on and so forth. Leicester go to Spurs on Sunday afternoon. Jim, we know who you're going to be supporting then, because you want Arsenal to finish fourth. Otherwise, you're generally pro anything North London.
Yeah, why not?
Mourinho was reflecting on his Spurs sacking this week and said, "In my long career, so many things have happened, good and bad, and that one is quite unique. But I must say that Daniel Levy is also quite unique." I love it when he comes back to England for a game. Yeah. He's just like, "Oh, I've got some dirty laundry to air here."
Tons of it.
We haven't asked you that about it. But the thing is, the press will have asked him about that, though, won't they?
He was asked about if he had any tips for Ten Hag recently, didn't he? Someone sent him, "Do you have any tips for Ten Hag at your former club?" And he said something like, "You've hit the nail on the head there. My former club's not my club now." Yeah. Essentially, who cares?
What is he meant to say, though?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Isn't it psychological warfare? Pick a fight with your best players.
Yep.
Just war of attrition, really. That's what it's all about.
Well, it's part of the Mourinho merry-go-round, though, isn't it? You ask a stupid question and he will give you a brilliant answer.
Yes, indeed. He would probably just say, "Well, make sure you don't finish second, because apparently that's not good enough for everybody."
Or win half a trophy like he did at Spurs.
You'd be pleased to know, though, Jim, that Spurs versus Leicester, John Moss is refereeing.
Yep.
And he and Martin Atkinson are going to retire at the end of the season. Always sad to see them go.
Mm.
But you know, they have.
You make it sound as if they're going to a retirement home together.
Yeah.
Well, they might be.
Retirement island.
Yeah. Where's Mark Clatton?
Where are the referees going?
Good old Clats. It did remind me, though, and that video surfaced again of Richard Keys and Andy Gray when they were left nearly speechless.
Yeah.
Not quite speechless.
Not a lot of things make me speechless, Richard.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd love a list of them. a list of them for future use.
Yeah, that was, of course, when John Moss has got the name Mossy inscribed on his boots, which we assume he'll be wearing for that game involving Spurs and Leicester. But Richard Keys and Andy Gray were terribly offended by this, and if you remember the video.
I do.
It's always worth remembering what they get up to over there. And Richard Keys called for John Moss to cut it out.
Yeah.
"You're not the star of the show, John.
You're not the star of the show." It's absolutely astonishing, isn't it? They are just like, they're just perfectly pitched as like all-time great comedy characters.
Can you
they
get
just
your,
happen to be real.
Can you get your name sewn on a pair of brogues that you're going to get on TV?
I think you'll find the Cuban heels, Andy.
Yeah.
And you can still find them. All right, everybody, let's go for a quick break.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to Football Ramble.
Yeah, maybe just once more about the Football Ramble. That'd be all right.
Hi, I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to the Football Ramble. I'm Martin Keown.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. As Martin just said, everybody, it's the preview show sponsored by Betway. Okay, it's time for some emails.
If you've got something for us, showfootballramble.com.
Yes, Ben has been in touch and he says, when I was about 16, I did a bit of work experience with a physio team at Sheffield Wednesday. I was given strict instructions by the head physio to phone in when I arrived at the training centre and not to approach the main entrance or speak to security or anyone else. When I arrived, I phoned the physio and he came out to collect me from the car park, taking me in a side entrance and checking down each corridor when we went in and when we were walking around the centre. I sat in the physio room with the physio team while they did their morning prep with the players, most of whom ignored me. Gary Medin was actually quite rude and a bit of a knob, but David Prutton was very nice and called Medin a dickhead for being rude.
Well done, Prutton.
Yeah. Anyway, once the morning prep was complete, the physios led me to the gym, again checking each corridor before they would let me in. I asked what all the secrecy was for and they said that the manager at the time, Gary Megson, was absolutely terrified of secrets being leaked and everyone, bar players and staff, were banned from entering the building. Those few days, several players came in for medicals or transfers that hadn't been announced yet. Players discussed their contracts, transfers, all sorts right in front of me, obviously not caring that I was there. I guess a Ginger Mourinho had a point. I never spilled any of their secrets, though.
Oh. Until now. Yeah. Lovely.
I love the thought of like Megson locking everything down, just getting really, really paranoid, trying to root out the leaks.
Yeah, Gary
Megson. Get those rats.
Who would have thought he could be such a...
Colonel Kurtz of South Yorkshire.
There we are. Love that. Very excellent email, Ben. Appreciate that. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble for that kind of crap. Now, everybody, let's turn our attention to the Premier League. Manchester United 1, Chelsea 1. A little bit of Thursday night Prem action, everybody. We didn't need that, though. We had the Europa League, so, yeah. But fine, okay, it happened. Scheduling, once again. How did Chelsea not win this match? I mean, you know, 4 wins in 16 for Manchester United.
Yeah.
It's not that inspiring, but, you know, they just... It's just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Chelsea was so much better. I mean, Gary Neville said in commentary during the match, obviously, United are the type of team for any football fan watching that you almost want to get beat. They need beating because they set a really poor example around work ethic and trying and all the things that parents and teachers tell their children every single day. This lot get paid a fortune and they are walking. Embarrassing.
Yeah, it's pretty pretty full on from Gary, isn't it?
Yeah,
he gets very emotional about Man United, and I quite enjoy it, to be honest. but I think the thing with Man United is you get the sense that it's a team of players and really a manager as well who just really want this season to be over.
Yes. Mm.
And one man who just really, really wants to get the best out of every single moment that's left of his playing career, which is in the shape of Cristiano Ronaldo. So it's a weird, they're a very weird kind of prospect to watch.
They are.
But what's less weird, I think, Jim, is that the last two matches that Manchester United have played and the last two results have kind of put me at ease, because what's been such a weird thing, particularly in this calendar year, is the fact that you've looked at Manchester United consistently and thought they're miles off, and actually if you look at the table they've been in with a chance.
Yeah, I know, this is it, they just won't go away,
and now we're reaching the point where statistically,
yes,
you know, they're not going to reach the top four. I mean, what, they played two more games than Arsenal?
Yeah,
and
five points behind.
It's not happening, is
no.
it?
No, it goes down as a poor season. There's no two ways about that. And despite the efforts from the ancient Cristiano Ronaldo, they're not going to get into the top four. I would like to say, though, that turning our attention to Chelsea, I mean, they will be disappointed they never won the game, although, you know, they are going to finish in the top four. But Reece James was superb last night. Just a joy
amazing,
to watch.
Amazing.
I mean, he really is such a phenomenal player. I mean, I could wax lyrical about him all day. That he can play fullback and play wing back, and he can also play in a back three as well. But he's just so tenacious, just like the machine-like energy and stamina,
yeah.
Creativity with crossing.
I guess that's the point, isn't it, Marcus?
Tactical, you know, positioning, all the rest.
Yeah,
his
attacking play is brilliant.
He could be.
He'd have been a winger in a different era.
Yeah, he could be the best. Well, what do you let's say, fullback. One of the best fullbacks in the world for the next 10 years, if he's not already. You know,
that's the thing, isn't it? What you were describing there, Marcus, it takes it away from, you know, what you're thinking about England's right backs. It's like Scotland's left backs. It's just like this ridiculous, sort of incredibly profound well. But there is the possibility that he could go and play elsewhere, like in another position.
He could
be anything he wants to be. Whenever I see him, I just think he's an enormous advert for his dad's coaching, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Incredible. Well, what a walking billboard.
Well, when you say that he could play anywhere, but I'd give him that right side. You know when Barcelona used
Danny
to say...
Danny Alves, is it?
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Danny Alves, just the whole channel, mate, that's yours. That's what that's... He is the reason why Trent Alexander-Arnold won't get 50 caps for England. Probably. Mm. You know, that's it. He is so...
That is an extraordinary thought in itself, isn't it?
Yeah. Honestly, I'd love Trent. I think he's absolutely brilliant. And as you say, when you look at... I love Trippier as well. I still love Kyle Walker. You know, you kind of get it with England. But he will be the successor to Kyle Walker, what Walker's done. And could even go on and be a better player than
Walker. That's the thing. I mean, it might put a cap on the amount of appearances that Walker can make for England as well. Because he's been...
Walker's done okay, but he's...
Because he's been around for a long time, you think Walker's... older than he is, but he's got a long time to go as well. Yeah. I mean, he could become a third centre back as well, couldn't he? That's another option for him.
Oh, I love all this England chat. There's nowhere near international.
It's your Friday as well, Marcus.
It is Friday, Andy. That's why we're doing it. Though we should mention Manchester United a little bit more. Sadly, Ralf Rangnick is considering an offer to become Austria manager. Now, apparently, that is quite advanced.
Why, what the bloody hell? Yeah, honestly.
Well, a bit of a job share, Manchester United consultancy role, which shouldn't take too much of his time. 6 days every month for 2 years. And a bit of a joke. I mean, it's an absolute shit show.
It's amazing, isn't it? Key figures at your club in job shares.
This guy was meant to come in and like revolutionise the whole club. Oh, he's the godfather of modern German football, all the rest of it.
Yeah, but
he's been
but
crap
he was,
in the dugout, and this now he's a bit like, oh, do you know what?
But he was never given the tools to do that. It was.
I'm not blaming
that it
him.
Wasn't going to work.
I'm not blaming him completely, Andy. But it's not been good. It's not been inspired. I just think, like, just become like what Chelsea have done in the last 10 years or whatever it's been. Just hire good managers. Sign good players, you should do all right. Do you know what I mean? You'll do better than what you're doing right now. It's still a hangover from Ferguson.
Yeah,
this is the problem.
I mean, if you look at the summer business they did, they did sign good players, right? They had a really good window on paper, and still, whatever's happening at the club behind the scenes is standing in the way.
They're
of them progressing.
A good Everton, is what they are.
Oh, big talk,
mate.
Big talk.
Ow.
Yeah, that's
what it is right now. Loads of money. Some good players, no idea what's going on. They've won a few trophies, it seems like a while ago now, blah, 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 blah. It's a good Everton.
I think this might be a little short-sighted, Marcus, because in bringing in Ten Hag, they have got something they've not tried, really, since Ferguson left.
Donny van der Beek?
Which is a kind of, essentially an up-and-coming manager, right, who's kind of... bring in new ideas and perhaps spend the sort of best years of their career there. Like obviously with Mourinho, Van Gaal, they've done a lot in the past. David Moyes was a different sort of idea. Solskjaer was essentially a sort of nostalgia appointment. So this, to their credit, they're trying something new, right? I think we all agree they have to try something new.
The up-and-coming 52-year-old Erik Ten Hag.
All right, but okay. Yeah, maybe you're right. But it's still a different profile of manager from that's come before.
Yeah, okay. Could have got Antonio Conte. Silly sausages. But Ten Hag is going to come. He's going to come in with some new ideas, and my goodness, they need them. And according to Kevin Conboy, one of his former players at Utrecht, he has some quite odd methods when it comes to making sure his players aren't sloppy on the ball. Old Kevin said, you could have 10 good passes and one that bounced a little bit, and if it did, he would make a frog sound, almost like a duck's quack, like he was jumping as it had to be on the floor.
See? New ideas. Mm. They've not tried someone who quacks like a frog.
It sounds to me...
As anyone.
I've missed Solskjaer. I love a bit of nostalgia, me. I love the 90s. Get him back in there. Let the good times roll.
It sounds to me like, on a mistake, he was actually making Pusha T's ich sound.
It could be.
I think that's what he's doing.
It could well be, Andy. My goodness.
No one quacks, do they? I mean, come on.
Well, apart from Eric. Speaking of Chelsea and Everton, they're playing each other. At Goodison Park, Frank Lampard's derby. That doesn't work, does it? Because he just managed that way. It is the Frank Lampard derby.
That is literally the only phrase that doesn't work.
Exactly, yeah. Of all the phrases I could have used, my giddy aunt, everybody. But also, let us take a little glance at the bottom of the table. Watford are playing Burnley on Saturday at 3:00. Burnley, with a little bit of,
momentum.
Momentum, absolutely. Have the chance to pull 5 points clear of Everton before Everton face Chelsea, which would put a lot of pressure on them. And of course, Chelsea will be firm favourites for that one. Reports say that Roy Hodgson will leave Watford at the end of the season, even though they pull off the great escape. It's very unlikely they're going to pull off the great escape. Yeah. As I say, that last-minute loss to Brentford was quite damning.
The real question is can they make it difficult for Burnley? Because so recently after the Norwich game, which obviously finished Sean Dyche, you do think, are Burnley going to go there thinking, yeah, we're in a decent spot, and then end up getting beaten by some no-hopers that are going down anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, that is the question, really. So for Burnley, this is, I think, quite a dangerous game. The one thing is, Watford are epically shit at home, aren't they?
Well, they are, and the stats back that up. They've lost each of their last 10 home games, and no top-flight side has ever lost 11 games at home in a row. I mean, this is not the stuff that they wanted Roy Hodgson to do when he went there. But by the way, you said I was scathing about Manchester United comparing them to them. I mean, you just called Watford a bunch of no-hopers.
No, I said epically shit at home.
Yeah, as well.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Right, you are. Thanks, yeah. Marcus. Just
boot them while they're down a couple of times. So Burnley, probably favourites for this one, but they've got to do it. And it's a chance for them, as I say, to really put the pressure on Everton. And Burnley themselves are being linked with Wayne Rooney. For the managerial job, I should say.
I mean, it's a weird rumoured shortlist, isn't it?
Yeah. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer also featured high up on the odds.
What did I just say?
A bit more like it. Yeah. A bit more like it. Norwich face Aston Villa, Jim Campbell. And if Burnley win and Norwich lose, which is very possible, Norwich will be relegated.
Yeah. You can high-five Fulham on the way down again.
Up yours.
What do you mean up mine?
Yeah, well, just, you know, that's a bit disrespectful to two fine football clubs.
No, it just happens every time.
Fulham are getting promoted, which
exactly.
Jim is just pointing out.
Yeah, all right. Happy. Okay, I'll take
go
it
back to clacking your clacker.
Yeah. All right,
it's going to be a crazy weekend.
Okay, I'll pull it back
jangling
down
the keys around in a weird way.
Well, it's interesting. So yes, we could have the first side relegated from the Premier League on the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it is inevitable, isn't it? Being serious about it, and it must be so frustrating for Norwich. It's been a bleak old season, just like the one before it when they were here. And you wonder what they do next.
Much like Manchester United, they just want this season to end, don't they? So they could enjoy the good times again in the Championship. One side that aren't going to be relegated is Newcastle United. Andy, your local team, they face Liverpool. They get it going on Saturday at 12:30. Big news from Liverpool is Jurgen Klopp has announced that he's agreed a 2-year contract extension, committing him to Liverpool until 2026, which is good news all round. Be happy with that, wouldn't you, Jim, as a Liverpool fan? He's done enough to convince them.
If I were a Liverpool fan, I think I'd be pretty delighted with that, yeah. Because, well, I mean, we don't know how the season's going to end for Liverpool. People are starting to talk about a quadruple now, although it's taken a while for that chapter to happen.
No, right? It hasn't.
Do you not think?
People talking about it for months.
You think?
Yes.
I don't know. All right, well, either way, right? Uh-huh. The fact it's even still in play is remarkable.
It
and
is.
You look at the... You know, when they won the Champions League last time, that feels like ages ago.
Yeah,
and, you know, they've had some... Which team do you pick out of this era to describe as the best one? It's still... It could well be this one. It could be the one that won the league. Like, they are absolutely phenomenal. He is one of their all-time great managers. And we're talking about Liverpool here. Like,
yeah, well, I think
a
if he
team
goes,
that have achieved so much
if
in
he
football.
Goes well, right. To the end of this contract extension, he will have outlasted Bill Shankly. He will
really?
Have had a longer spell at the club than Bill Shankly.
Wow.
Which is amazing. Now, we know, like, that Klopp, after Mainz and Dortmund, is a serial monogamist. But I think... The interesting thing is not just what this does for Liverpool, but what this does for the rest of the Premier League. Because I think if you're Antonio Conte at Tottenham, or if you're Erik ten Hag coming in at Manchester United, you hear this news and you think, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know, you've just been counting down to 2024 when, oh, Klopp's gone, Guardiola's gone. Then maybe, maybe.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Really another 2 years? his wife made him do it.
That's right,
didn't
yeah.
he? Yeah.
Well, it made him do it. She inspired him to do it, I think. Because apparently when they sat down for the contract talk, he said, or there was the chat about it, he said, oh, what do you think? And she went, we're going to stay another 2 years. And he was like, all right then. but he also said, when the owners brought the possibility to renew to me, I thought, do I have the energy and vibe to give of myself again?
There are two things he has.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. To give of myself again what this amazing place requires from the person in the manager's office. The answer was very simple. I'm in love with here and I feel fine. the chant they sing to Klopp on the terraces.
You know when you said about Newcastle Liverpool and a 2-year extension, I thought you were going to talk about Fabian Scher looking lovely in a suit.
Well, important extension as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he's good for them, isn't he?
Yeah. You would argue, but Dwight Gayle has been awarded Trainer of the Month by Eddie Howe at Newcastle.
I mean, that's not quite the same as a 2-year contract, is it?
But it's an award, Andy, isn't it? in a club that has been starved of silverware. You know, at least
they're giving silverware to themselves now.
You think Eddie Howe's been to one of those like sports shops where you can buy like the mini trophies? Yeah.
Absolutely, trainer of the month you are.
Maybe it's, you know, some sort of trainer that's been sprayed gold.
That's true. That's very true. Well, good on Dwight Gale. He probably won't feature though against Liverpool because he's never been named in one of Eddie Howe's starting 11s.
Tricky one for Liverpool, this, I think.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I still have the feeling that Liverpool might edge the league. But I think if you look at the rest of their games, this, and obviously Klopp really wanted it to be pushed back to a later kickoff as well, didn't he, after the...
He loves a bit of that.
The Champions League.
Scheduling.
And exactly. Newcastle have been on fire at home. The atmosphere there is incredible at the moment. Guimaraes and Joelinton are playing amazingly well. And I think that's the big difference. When you look at the fixture lists, and I know that points might be dropped regardless of what the actual fixture list is, given fair wind, et cetera, demands elsewhere. But I think that is one of the biggest differences in Liverpool and City's remaining fixture list, in that Newcastle have to go to City, but they host Liverpool.
Yeah.
And I think that's a difference, because them at home and away are very, very different.
Here's my prediction for you boys. I think Manchester City will win the league.
Okay.
And I think Liverpool will win the FA Cup and the Champions League.
Okay.
I think Liverpool will win the Cups.
Do you think this game will have any influence on it?
No, I don't, because I think Liverpool will win it. But I just think Manchester City will keep their cool in the league and get over the line.
Also, there are two games at St James's Park this weekend Newcastle United's women's team are playing at St James's Park for the first time ever on Sunday.
Big news.
Great.
Yeah. Lovely old job. Lovely old job. One man who often lit up Newcastle United's stadium, St James's Park, is of course Alan Pardew. And he's had some big contract news of his own. He's been made the permanent manager of CSK Sofia until the end of next season. So presumably, much like Liverpool fans are delighted with Klopp, that the CSK Sofia fans will be absolutely delighted with this. And he said on the club's website, "My goal is to leave a legacy in CSK in the future and these young coaches who will work with us now." He can win silverware within a fortnight with the Bulgaria Cup final coming up.
That's how good the man is.
Exactly. His Cup final just appear.
Yeah.
Just do the dance, Alan. We can slag you off and everybody's happy. Okay? That's all we want, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I imagine if he does the dance again.
Do you want to see that?
Within a fortnight.
Do you want to see
that? Within a fortnight of taking over, he's dancing in his technical area.
Is there any news on whether he did the dance after winning on penalties in the semi?
I don't think there was, Andy. He'll save himself.
I think he only dances for finals.
Yeah.
It's a good policy to have, isn't it?
a very good policy to have. Whatever we are, everybody, all eyes on the Bulgaria Cup final coming up soon. Gentlemen, it's time for Betway's Four to Score. Four to Score, of course, is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further tease and C's apply. Game one, Everton versus Chelsea, Sunday at 2 p.m. Andy, who have you picked?
Kai Havertz. Should have had a goal at Old Trafford. He's been saving them up for Goodison.
Really? Do you know Reece James could have got a goal at Old Trafford? He could have got a winner. I forgot to mention that. Mason Mount.
He could, but why are we winching him into this bit about Kai Havertz?
Okay, you've picked Kai Havertz.
Let Kai have his room.
Okay, yeah. Game two, Spurs versus Leicester City, Sunday at 2 p.m. also. Jim, who are you going for?
I have gone for Son Heung-min because he is particularly exceptional at home, isn't he? So I think, him.
Fair one. Game three, West Ham versus Arsenal, Sunday at 4:30. Kate Mason had this to say.
Hello. Christ's sake, I've just realised that West Ham aren't going to care about winning this one at all, are they? Thanks a bunch, guys. Let's go for Bukayo Saka, because he's on pens and I think he's due a goal from open play. Saka to score first.
Good choice for Kate. Good choice. In game four, Manchester United versus Brentford, Monday at 8 p.m. I've picked Ivan Toney.
Yes!
Go on, Tone.
Go on, Tones.
I think he's going to do it. So there we are. There are the picks. Everton versus Chelsea, Kai Havertz. Spurs versus Leicester City, Song Heung-min. West Ham versus Arsenal, Bukayo Saka. And Manchester United versus Brentford, Ivan Toney. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. You can play for free at betway.com/4 to score. Further T's and C's apply. You must be over 18 and do gamble responsibly. For more information than that, head to begambleaware.org.
And now it's time for this.
It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked.
This is why you're all fucked. It's Jim's game. The weekend's nearly here.
Oi, oi.
And I'm taking the reins for the game.
Give him the keys until the end of the game.
Yeah. Getting the keys.
True. No, come on, put the keys in the bowl the like we spoke about.
All right, the keys are in the bowl.
Cool. Okay. So, Andy, I believe you're champion at the moment, or certainly leading the league. So that
of course
means
he is.
Marcus, you are to go first.
Oh, goody gumdrops.
Yeah, you're all right with that? So you ready?
Yes.
You got your brain ready?
Uh-huh, I think
brought it
so.
With you?
Yes.
Cool. All right. Your first player, they have played for four clubs.
Mm-hmm.
They are Phil Jagielka.
They are Phil Jagielka.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm just... That's just how I worded it.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, bloody balls.
Bloody balls.
Fireballs.
You're going to have to stop distracting us with just word association about balls, Marcus.
I am at some point, aren't I? Oh, I'm missing such an obvious one, I'm sure.
What are you going to give me? Four clubs?
Two.
Two. Two yeah. clubs. Andy, can we hear more than two?
Oh, I'll say three.
Okay. You want to go for four,
no,
Marcus?
No, and I'm sure. Go on.
All right then, Andy. Hit us. Phil Jagielka, four clubs.
No, three.
Sorry, three clubs.
Sheffield United. Everton.
Yep.
Derby.
Well played.
Yeah, Derby's a tough one, isn't it? But
Who was the other one?
The other one was Stoke City. He also he played for Sheffield United twice, he of did, course,
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
I believe he's currently at Stoke City. So yeah, still find him. Still find Phil
Jagielka.
Oh,
of course, because he left Sheffield. Yeah.
It's easy to say now, isn't it?
It
easy
is.
To say
I wouldn't
now.
Have got that.
See, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
No.
Anyway,
well,
go on.
Play for Derby.
So 1-0 Andy. So Andy, your first player. You obviously get the chance to go first. Played for five clubs. It's Alex, Brazilian Alex.
Oh, bloody hell!
Five clubs.
There are lots of Brazilian Alexes.
I can't tell you who he played for, can I? So
right. I think I know who you mean. The homophobic one who was a centre back and really good from free kicks.
That'll do.
I don't know. I don't know about the bald centre back.
Yeah,
Andy, that's the one I think.
Yeah,
it is.
That's yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bald Brazilian centre back.
Okay. Not Fenerbahce, Alex, who also had no hair. This is very confusing. Okay, I'll go three.
Three clubs.
Why? Oh, absolute
sod. Got any more than three?
No, I
for
don't.
An Alex, where you're not entirely even sure who he is.
Well, I have definitely got two. I was confident with a third guess. I'm not guessing two. Go on, Andy. Okay. Go 2-0 up.
Give us your three.
Oh, this bloody game.
PSV. Oh, I did get the right one. Yes. That's important. Right. I will need his full name next time. Chelsea. Corinthians.
Yes!
Wow.
The joy.
I kind of got one.
Face. I just haven't been whitewashed.
Yeah. So he did not play for Corinthians. He played for Santos, played for Chelsea, then went on loan to PSV, played for Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah,
and then
I'm
AC
amazed
Milan.
You didn't say what? PSG. Who was the last one, sorry?
AC Milan.
Oh, do you know, I forgot about AC Milan. I cannot believe you didn't say PSG, Andy.
I can't believe that.
I had PSG and Chelsea.
Destroyed his character, didn't remember his career.
Ah, oh, delayed, the inevitable. Come right. on!
So, Marcus, you're up. This player.
In a way, I've already won.
Let's see about that. Let's see about that when you hear
you're
this.
You're an irritating
name.
Man, aren't you?
Jim, are you going to take that?
I am,
right,
actually, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I am. If anything, I don't think it's enough. Okay. Right, so next player.
Yeah.
Played for six clubs.
Uh-huh.
It's Zat Knight.
I'll piss off. Just piss.
No, but which
off.
Which Zat Knight? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. So Zat Knight, Marcus, you've got six clubs to choose from. What can I get a number from you?
I'm going to push the boat out and say three.
Three. Three right. for Zat Knight.
Go on, Em.
Can I? You,
no,
you,
no, I'm not going.
Not even messing
that.
Around.
Not going anywhere near that.
Dignifying it with a response.
Fulham.
How many clubs are you going
three.
For?
Three.
Oh, sorry.
Three.
So okay. So Fulham is correct.
Yeah. West Ham?
I'm afraid not, mate. No, that's a shame. So Zat Knight started at Fulham. Yeah. He then went on loan to Peterborough United. He played for Aston Villa, Bolton Wanderers, Colorado Rapids and Reading. He was also at Rushall Olympic, but they're non-pro, so don't
I could picture
count.
Him in that claret and blue, and it was Aston Villa.
So that is 2-1 to Andy Brassel.
High quality game, this, isn't it?
It is. It really is. So, you know, business end of the season.
This is like United Chelsea from last night. Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who's United? Who's Chelsea? That's the question.
I've had my Ronaldo moment. It was when you slipped up.
All right, Andy. So your next player has played for 6 clubs. He is the king of the dink. He is Carlos Vela. How many clubs can you name?
Ooh, okay.
Writing furiously.
Well, not furiously.
All right, thoughtfully.
Oh,
6 clubs for Carlos Vela.
Oh, there's guesses, there's pitfalls here.
It's a tough one.
We don't want pitfalls.
3 clubs.
3.
We want pit bulls.
Can you go 4, Marcus?
I mean, you have to stay in
the game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, have you definitely got 3?
Or no, but
it's always worth asking just to see. For a minute, I thought he was going to actually.
I've got surprised. I'm surprised at how few I've got, actually.
Can I hear 4 from you, Marcus, or are you going to let Andy try and trip himself up?
I'm just taking a moment, Jim.
That sounded like a hernia, like you're just giving yourself a hernia in that moment. I'm going to have to push you, Marcus. We don't have all day.
Let Andy do his 3.
Okay, Andy Brassel, give me 3 clubs for Carlos Vela.
Los Angeles FC. Mm-hmm. Real Sociedad.
He's got him.
Arsenal.
Andy Brassel wins. Saw that one coming.
Yeah, they were the 3 I had.
Yep, your other options were Salamanca, Osasuna. Both of those were on loan from Arsenal. Yeah. West Brom.
Oh,
and that was it. You got everyone else, didn't you? So it was Arsenal, Celta Vigo on loan, but didn't play any games. Salamanca on loan, Osasuna on loan, West Bromwich on loan, Real Sociedad on loan. Went there permanently, then moved to Los Angeles FC, where he still is.
Can I give Jim a brief round of applause for letting the whole theme tune play?
Well done, Jim.
like Kate normally cuts it off after like 2 seconds. She's like, right, I'm bored of that now. So thank you for showing the respect to the game.
Mm-hmm.
Equally, I would play Jim's game again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure you will.
We still got one more to do, but that was so annoying. I had those 3 and I thought he didn't play for a Mexico side. I can't guess Chivas or something.
Yes.
So I thought sod it and I lost.
Yeah, fair enough.
Let's have a bit of pride.
West Brom, I'd forgotten about.
West Brom are almost in the Sunderland zone.
Oh,
aren't they?
They're not quite in there, but Luke's they're game. Definitely in the same sort of profile. Mm-hmm. Right. So we've got one guess left. So, Marcus, this is your chance to at least make the scoreline look like it was competitive.
Goal thriller.
So, this player has played for 7 clubs.
Oh, yeah.
He is Matthew Taylor.
Now, again, I feel justified in saying which Matt Taylor.
We know. 2.
2?
Yeah.
Okay, Andy, can I hear 3?
Yeah, all right. I'll take 3. I'm not confident, but I'll take 3.
Okay.
I think you'd be confident with 3.
All right.
Go on,
so, to hit me with Matthew Taylor.
Portsmouth.
If that was wrong, it would be a disgrace.
Is that Matt Taylor?
Yeah.
Can I say Portsmouth again? West Ham United.
I'd forgotten he played for West Ham.
Have a little Northampton.
Oh, love that.
Andy Brassel.
Very well played.
Very, very good.
Very well played. That's why he's the champ.
It is why he's the champ. So that's 4-1. 4-1 victory, is it?
Yeah.
So not quite a whitewash, but still.
That's why I celebrated so much.
Yeah, you have still been routinely battered. But I hope it doesn't affect the weekend.
I shouldn't think so. Give him the keys back.
Yeah, you have the keys back.
So who were the other clubs?
The other clubs were, he started off at Luton Town, then went to Portsmouth, then Bolton Wanderers, West Ham United, Burnley, Northampton Town, and then he finished up at Swindon Town.
Mm. What a shitey selection of players in Jim's game today.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Mind you, though.
I thought they were all pretty much in your wheelhouse, to be fair.
As if, Andy. What, the Brazilian defender, Alex?
Come on, Andy.
I couldn't even work out which one it was.
Well, there we are, everybody. Andy Brassel is the champion once again. His reign of terror continues. Fair play to you, Brassel.
I need my own little molehill. I think I've won it. I realise I can't aspire to Marcus Mount. I'll never have that
Brassel
place
Bridge.
In the hearts of the people.
You win too much, that's your problem.
But I just like a little molehill.
Brassel Bridge?
Brassel Bump, maybe.
There you go. Brassel bump, indeed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Getting Northampton Town for Matt Taylor was particularly impressive, though, I have
to deserve, say. I deserve a gopher hole in Caddyshack.
I should say so.
For that, right?
I should say so. Well, there we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. The gate is open. The weekend is here. Get yourself some pitball on. It's fireball time, baby. Have a lovely one. Thank you very much, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Go forth and have lols.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.